Welcome to my commentary on Peter's second epistle. This section, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We're not talking about a belief system giving us all we need for godliness in life. We're talking about the divine power of God Himself, the creator of all there is, both spiritual and physical. His divine power has given us everything we need. Now, Peter is not talking about material possessions here. Remember, he's speaking to persecuted Christians who we're in the process of losing the little they had. We're talking about godliness here. We're talking about a life of godliness. God's divine power can enable us to live a godly life. Prosperity teachers cannot use this verse to support their position that God's divine power will give us material things that aren't necessary to godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So, God's divine power has given us all we need to live a godly life. Then Peter says it's through our knowledge of Him, meaning Jesus. Now, again, we see the word knowledge. Remember, the Gnostics believed they had secret special knowledge from the angels. Peter is saying true knowledge comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, no one else. Who has called us? Jesus has called us. Now, you might think there are a number of passages where it says, Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Here, Peter says, God calls us. So who's doing the calling? Is God calling us to salvation or are we calling Him to be saved? Well, it's basically a combination of both. But I think and believe that God takes the first step. He calls us. In one sense of the word, He has called us through the cross of Christ. I believe, in another sense of the word, He calls us by His Holy Spirit. We cry out to Him when we hear the call, and then we are saved. Peter says it's through our knowledge of Him, meaning Jesus, who has called us by His own glory and goodness. It's only the goodness of Jesus that wants us to be saved, that calls us to be saved. It's no goodness in ourselves. We do not have the ability to even want to be saved apart from God's call. That's how depraved we are. Verse 4, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises. Promises by Jesus are numerous, but of course the most important promises are those pertaining to our salvation, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Now, being a Christian is more than adopting a belief system, although having the biblical belief system in your life is of primary importance, but even beyond that, the reality of being a Christian, the reason why we are a Christian, is to participate in the divine nature, according to what Peter says here. The word participate is from the Greek word koinos, or koinonia. We hold in common, because the Holy Spirit has come into our lives, we as Christians hold in common that divine nature. We actually participate in the divine nature of God. This is what being a Christian is all about. Participating in the divine nature presupposes John 3, 4, and 5, that you have been born again by the Holy Spirit. If you have just repeated a simple prayer and have adopted the fact that Jesus died for you on the cross, well, that's not really being born again. Being born again is when the Holy Spirit comes into your lives, into our lives. At that point, we begin to participate in the divine nature, and we are expected to continue to participate in God's divine nature. Peter goes on to say, and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Peter and all the New Testament leaders understood that the world, meaning the world system, is corrupt. Every society, every nation, every government, in one sense of the word, is corrupt. If you remember the sermon Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he warned the people to escape the corruption of the world. In modern day, in our Western Christianity, we do not really believe the world is all that corrupt, but it is. The Bible says that the world's systems are at enmity to God. Tower of Babel surely tells us this to be true. So as Christians, we must understand that we live in a corrupt world and we need to escape from it. That should be part of the gospel of Christ. It should be part of your preaching an altar call. You know, in the past, we've had come to the altar, get saved, and live happily ever after. That's not the gospel. There's more to the gospel than that, and especially living happily ever after on this planet is not really a part of the gospel. Part of the gospel message is you come to Jesus and you escape the corruption of the world, just as if you were in a house that's on fire and the firemen come, they get you out of that house as quick as they can. They drag you out. They don't care if you get a little bit hurt in the process. The deal is get you out of that fire. That's how the first generation Christians viewed the world. Peter viewed those in the world that they needed to be grabbed out of that corrupt world, just as he would have grabbed his mother out of his house if his house was on fire. That's how the first generation Christians viewed the world, and that's how we should view the world. That's it for this section.